The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Thanks for being here. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Marlene Cushing, and I was involved with WAVE in the early and middle years.
And I'm Everett Bennett. I am the executive director for WAVE.
Well, thanks for coming in today. I wanted to start out with just a little bit of an overview and a history of WAVE. And Marlene, is it right that you were involved in the formation of the organization to start with?
Right, with several other people. In the early 80s, we had a gathering of people that had realized that it was domestic violence was an issue in our town, and that there were people that needed some assistance, and that we all needed a lot more information and education about this issue.
And Everett, can you tell us a little bit about where WAVE is now? You're the executive director?
Yes. Right now, we are kind of reforming. We've been through a lot of different changes. We have some funding through grants, which is really great. We have staff, which is really great. right now, we have just myself and one other staff person, and we are hiring for one position that hopefully we are going to fill very soon. And we have that position that we're filling is prevention, and that I think is a really exciting portion of the work that we're doing, is preventing the violence. So not waiting for something to happen and reacting, which is still vital to our work, but also kind of being preventative and figuring out what can we do to prevent things like this from happening.
Mm-hmm. And you said that WAVE has gone through a lot of changes and iterations. Is that something that is newer to WAVE's mission?
I don't think so. I think that was a big part of one of the first meetings, was talking about going into the schools and talking to the students about what are some of the signs of things and who to talk to if something happens and things mm-hmm. like that. Marlene, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think prevention was one of our goals from the beginning. And it's been more than one generation, and some things have gotten much better in terms of society being aware that this goes on and it no longer being acceptable. But it has not gone away.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things, Everett, that you had mentioned that WAVE is hoping to start up again, it was a program that you had in the past but have stopped recently, is domestic violence safe houses. Marlene, maybe could you talk a little bit about how those worked, what that looks like historically with WAVE?
Well, we would recruit people, usually people whose children were grown, sometimes people who ran B&Bs out of their house, or, you know, had a guest room kind mm-hmm. of situation, but most of the year that space was empty. And people who were just concerned with battering and wanted to be there to help. And they would basically just be a host. We would house people for up to 3 days when they were in an unsafe situation. And it gave them just a space to feel safe while one of the WAVE advocates would work with them on what their options were and help them get to the next step, whatever that might be.
What's the reason for the 3 days?
We didn't think that volunteers should have an open-ended commitment.
Mm-hmm. And then the WAVE advocate would work with them in finding and finding options past that 3 days, finding a place to live.
Right. Sometimes people would, if they were going to need an extended stay somewhere, they might go to one of the shelters in neighboring towns like Juneau or Ketchikan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would go back to family. Sometimes the batterer would leave and they would move back to their apartment or their home.
Mm. Okay. Maybe this seems a little bit obvious, but can you talk a little bit about why it's necessary to have those safe houses? What does that do?
It really provides an opportunity for people to explore their options, which is one of the core, I think it's our philosophy statement, is providing a space where people can go to explore their options. So we're never there to tell people, you got to do this, you got to do that. We really are there to just tell them, you know, here's an opportunity here. Here's another choice if you want to do that. Or, you know, maybe your choice is going back to where you were. And that's also an option. We can support you through that. And I think that's the key thing. And there are times when things are particularly violent and it gets scary for people, for themselves and for their children. And having a place where someone can go to be safe, where no one knows where you are, you're not connected to, you know, you're at so-and-so's friend's aunt, whatever. It's just someone in the community who's willing to open their house up. That's why this is so important. So there's no ties to you directly. And
mm-hmm. So a safe house is, by definition, somewhere that is absolutely secret and anonymous so that that person can't be found.
Yes.
Yep. And in all the years I was involved in it, we never had a safe home disclosed. So it does work.
It strikes me that it must be somewhat difficult to find people who are good at keeping that quiet, finding those volunteers.
No, that part I don't think was difficult. But you need to have 4 or 5 options because nobody has availability all the time. So mm-hmm. If we thought we were going to need a safe home that evening or something, then I'd have the list and I could call and say, you know, is this a time when you could have somebody come? Mm-hmm. And they could say, no, I have a guest already, or mm-hmm. or no, I've got a big dinner party coming up, or whatever. So you would need to have several on the list
right.
before you'd find someone that would say, yeah, this will work for the next few days. I don't have anything coming up that would interfere with that.
Mm-hmm. So Everett, WAVE has had safe houses in the past, but it stopped recently. I think you said in the last 4 years. Why did it stop?
Yeah, one of the changes, we received grant funding, and one of the requirements is that we have liability insurance. And when we got liability insurance, they said, you cannot have the service anymore. And so we stopped providing it. And that was really challenging to tell people who've kind of been familiar with this and some of the services that we've been able to provide, to just say, you know, let's safety plan about being in your car tonight and what that looks like. And there isn't even a domestic violence or a homeless shelter in Petersburg. So even existing in Petersburg without a house is not legal, which is ridiculous to me.
So backing up just a little bit, you received one particular grant, and I know that WAVE is funded through a lot of different grants, but one of those particular grants required liability insurance, and then that liability insurance said, no, safe houses is not, that's not a thing that we can cover in this insurance.
Correct.
Okay.
And then since we have talked to them again, and they said we are allowed to offer the service, which is why we're here today, to rebuild this program that hasn't been around for a while, because it is a needed service mm-hmm. in the community, and it's not needed all the time, but when it is, it really is so helpful to be able to say, here's a place you can just go and it's going to be quiet mm-hmm. and it's warm and dry and you can just be here and you don't have to worry about what's that noise or what, you know, everything. Mm-hmm.
The hypervigilance mm-hmm. can kind of decrease. Are safe houses open to more than just a single person? If there are family members, can they also go?
Yeah. And that I think is also another challenge for finding the right safe home for people. You know, we want spaces that are going to be available to have kids if needed. And
We always did an interview. If someone was interested in being a safe home, we would do an interview with them and explain what would be involved and what would be expected of them, and also a chance to look around and get a feel for, okay, how many people could stay in this space, and is this a space young children could stay in or older kids could stay in, and, you know, is it very visible from the street, the entrance, and all those kinds of things.
And Everett, you had told me that being a safe house host was not something that would really work if you had children, if the hosts themselves had children, because those kids often are chatty and have a hard time keeping a secret.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, is finding the right person that fits into that criteria. So we ideally are finding people who don't have kids, because it's, you know, we're teaching kids to not keep secrets as a part of our our education in the school system. And so we don't want to be that adult that is now telling them to keep a secret.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm curious, I'm sure there are plenty of studies, what repercussions of not having had safe houses for the last handful of years has been. Do you have any sense of that?
I think for me personally, as an advocate, it's been really challenging, because it's frustrating to look at someone and say, I don't have anything to offer you. And I know that your situation is violent, and there is no, like, I want to be able to connect you. And part of me is like, come home with me. But that's not going to be an option. And so it's really challenging for all of our advocates, myself included, to just have to tell someone, I don't have anything. We can get you to a shelter tomorrow if you want to, you know, if the weather's right, and if you're able to pack up all of your stuff, or maybe you just leave all your stuff. But all those things are really challenging.
And when you say get you to a shelter, you're talking about leaving Petersburg to go to another town.
Yes. Where
potentially they have very few contacts. So they would be going to a town outside of where they know.
Correct.
To have a space to live. Is there any criteria for people to get to use this service? Like, do they have to, does there need to have been violence at home of a particular nature, or is it just somebody feels unsafe, that's enough?
They have to agree to certain rules if they're going to be in a safe home. Mm-hmm. Rules that are for their safety, the safety of the people that are hosting them, and most important, so that safe home remains confidential and can be used again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so part of it is usually the kids don't go to school, because we don't want people seeing, you know, so-and-so coming and going from a certain house. And, you know, you may not go to work first those days. So it's really to be able to fit into that criteria. Usually there's a reason for it. And I think that it's not a service that is right for everyone, but it is important to be able to provide that service.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, you know, there's a lot of information about how there's an intersection between domestic violence and homelessness. Is that something that you see in Petersburg as well?
Yeah, there's definitely people who are sleeping in cars because they don't have a place to go. And families, like, people don't realize that. I think it's really easy to think, oh, it's just this certain person, you know, but there's families who don't have housing.
And certainly not having an option makes it much, much harder for somebody to try to leave the situation.
Right, because they're weighing between staying in a home that's violent or living in a car. Or maybe not a car if they don't have a car.
Yeah, and I think that's the choice that's made most often, is people will stick with what they know versus going, you know, living outside, which makes sense. And absolutely no judgment on that at all. And that is a choice for safety to some degree. You know, being inside is warm and it's not always safe to be outside.
Yeah. Yeah. It strikes me that the safe house, you know, you can't necessarily make good decisions when you're in that heightened state of vigilance. And it strikes me that being in a safe house might serve to really give people an opportunity to think in a way that they probably can't when they're in that unsafe environment in their house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything else you want to add about this program?
I think it's a really important mission. And if people have the space and feel like this is something that they might be drawn to, it's a great opportunity to make a very big difference.
So if folks are interested in participating, can they just call up WAVE and are you set up at this point to start taking volunteers for that?
Yeah, what we do is take your information down and then have a couple of conversations. And like Marlene said, talk about what is expected of you as a safe home, and then probably take a look at your home as well and see what works. And then we can provide training as well for folks, but we're not asking anyone to provide advocacy services. It's really just a home, a place where someone can sleep.
Mm-hmm. And just to note that WAVE did just move locations. So if people are interested in reaching out to WAVE, they are no longer, the organization is no longer out by Joan Mai, which I guess I can't say either.
So many moves in our little community happening.
Yeah. You are no longer out by the ferry terminal. Can you tell us about your new location so people can come find you?
Yes, we are still somewhat under construction, but our location is under the courthouse, and you would enter on the Singley Alley side. So depending on how long you've lived here, it's been a couple of different things, but I think my memory has a hair cutting salon there. So, and other people have said that there's a vet there at one point. So
it's kind of right across the street from Helsa.
Correct. Yeah.
And it was a quilt store too.
A quilt store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said public health had been there at one point on the
other side. On the other side.
Yeah. Which is also our location. But you'd enter from the Singley Alley sign.
Okay. So. Yeah. It's quite a big space. And it's still under construction, so you don't have regular hours, correct?
Yeah, definitely best to call just to make sure that, you know, we have not painted the floor and can't enter the building or something like that. And our number is 907-772-9283. And then you can also chat with us online on our website. If you go to petersburgwave.org, you can chat with an advocate.
There's a live chat. Mm-hmm. Advocates. Okay. And that would also be the number and the chat for people who are interested in the safe house volunteering as well.
Yeah. Ideally, if you give us a call, if you're interested in being a safe home, I think that would probably be the easiest option. But you could also chat if you wanted to.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys both so much for joining me.
Thank you.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.